Good morning. My name is Michelle McLeod, and I want to welcome you to our show, Mornings with Michelle. We're coming from Fallbrook, California, sort of North San Diego County, and it's about 11 o'clock on Friday, April 15th, 2016. I know, April 15th, that's tax day, but again, the government has given us a couple extra days because really tax day is the 18th, Monday. April 16th, which is Saturday, is a holiday in Washington, D.C., and because it's a Saturday, Washington, D.C. puts it back to the 15th, so they're closed on the 15th, so it allows us till the 18th to file our taxes. Other good news on the tax horizon is that if you made a mistake on your 2014 taxes, you probably aren't going to get audited. They have very few auditors, although I'm not promoting cheating on your taxes. I'm just letting you know that in 2015, they only were able to get about $7 billion, to recover $7 billion. In the years before that, they were recovering almost $14 billion. So it's good and bad. It's good if you're a tax cheat. It's not good if you are a normal person relying on taxes to run the country. Now, Lori Fenley, who I think you heard her last week, and she's full of knowledge about plants, gardens, and that type of thing. And today we want to talk about the types of gardens, vegetable gardens, you know, what kind, design, what kind of plants, how to do it, pests, and what you can get. So let's say good morning to Lori.
Morning, Michelle.
Lori, let's start with what types of gardens that you think would be best for people to plant.
Yeah, I think we were talking earlier, there's some people don't have any space in their own yard, so they might belong to a community garden. I know there's one in Escondido. I drive by and see that, people working out that there during the day. And it's tough for me to see that because it's so much warmer there. They're picking tomatoes before my tomatoes are even tall enough to have tomatoes.
In Temecula?
Yes.
Why?
I live in a really cold area by Temecula Creek.
Okay.
And I don't get tomatoes till July. But we have it like at the true Indian summer. So the fun thing is after that, if I'm really careful and cover up my couple of tomato plants at night, I can have tomatoes up until Christmas.
That's great. Good for you. Well, now, you have a backyard garden.
Right.
We've talked in, obviously, a community garden is something that you would be involved with your community. What about a container garden?
Yep.
I live on a second floor. I live in a condo on a second floor. What can I do?
Right. You can still grow lots of things. Tomatoes always comes top of mind to me because there's so many varieties and different colors, and there's heirloom ones and pear ones and cherry tomatoes. You could have probably enough tomatoes for your whole summer if you just had a little patio garden.
Well, you know what? That brings up, I was on the Rogers Garden website not too long ago, and they have, their master gardener has a list of 20 top tomatoes. And you look at the pictures, you would not even believe you're looking at tomatoes. There's the old standby red tomatoes. There's green tomatoes, yellow tomatoes. There's yellow and green tomatoes. There's stripes. There's black tomatoes. There's purple tomatoes, indigo. It's amazing.
It's crazy. And people get into collecting those like they collect succulents in a way.
And okay, now I have a question. This leads into another question. If I find a phenomenal tomato, and we'll talk about seeds in a minute, but if I find a phenomenal tomato that I've gotten from an heirloom place or whatever, can I save the seeds and then replant them next year? And are there certain types of vegetables that's allowed, or that will actually work that way?
Right.
Or tell me how that works.
That's an interesting topic, and a lot of people talk about heirloom vegetables. It's really, I think it's trendy, and not everybody knows what it means. But there's open pollinated seeds, and then there's hybrid seeds or hybrid plants. Like if you go to a garden center, you could get little plantlets if you don't want to go to all the trouble of doing seeds. Mm-hmm. So either the seeds or the little plants, the hybrid ones, those all began because people that are growing seeds for all of us or growing little plants for all of us know that we want certain traits, like we want them to be frost tolerant, mm-hmm. or we want them to be wilt tolerant, or, you know, some disease that, you know, we've been having challenges with. We're going to try to breed a plant that doesn't have that anymore. So that's the good part about it. But the bad part about it, if you have a hybrid seeds, you can save them, but you're not going to get the same plant next year.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be different.
It's a one-time thing.
Yeah, and if you save it over and over and over and plant them, the plants become weaker and weaker and weaker. So that's the bad part about those. So you have to get new seeds every year.
Okay, now you're taking me back to my Mendelian genetics in high
school.
Yes,
remember that.
Yes, and the fruit flies, Drosophila.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's so much fun.
Okay.
So if you want to save your seeds, though, you want to go with the open pollinated varieties, but in the seed catalogs, mostly they're going to be called heirloom.
Mm.
And they usually advertise those as being things that have been handed down from generations for like at least 50 years. So they're always going to be true to type. And the open pollination means that they're just pollinated by nature, wind, animals,
okay.
Even people. But it's all in kind of a controlled area, so they get really well adapted to their areas.
Okay, so to clarify, is if I'm a beginning gardener, do I want to buy heirloom type plants or do I want to stay with the big boy tomatoes or whatever, the ones that have been around forever?
Yeah. Depends on whether you're a seed collector, I think, or not. If you really want that hybrid plant because it has the trait that you like, I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to collect seeds so you can plant them the next year, you definitely want to go with the heirloom ones.
Okay, so heirloom seeds are ones that if I collect the seeds, I can plant them and keep the strain the same.
They're going to come true to type, like
okay,
they say.
Okay, true to type. Okay, I'm
learning.
So
you're going to get the same thing you got last year.
Okay, what about things like cantaloupe? Because I saved my cantaloupe seeds last time because I found a really cool one that was a cantaloupe but tasted lemony. It was wonderful.
Oh, I've heard of that.
I know, but I saved the seeds, but I'm not sure.
You don't have your little plant tag or your seed packet to know what kind it was, you're not going to know, probably.
Okay. All right. Well, that's, again, there's so many seeds, so many ways we can go over whether you start with seeds or whether you start with little plantlets. We kind of got going over fast. Let's talk about design of a garden. So how would you, do you always do rows? And I've always heard that you've done rows and you keep the rows about, or you put pathways in between that are about 4 foot. You don't want to step on the roots. You want to be able to access both sides of the path. Do you do I've heard about a horseshoe type garden. And then the age-old rows, 10 foot. How long is a row? How far apart do you? How do you normally do that?
Well, the main thing you want to do if you're doing rows is to make sure your rows are running north and south, being that the sun goes east to west. So that, the most important thing. All those other designs are probably just your personal choice, how you want to do it.
Right, how much space you might have.
Exactly, how much space you have. And I want to fit as much into my little 12 by 10 space that I have. So my little rows, I might be stepping on some roots or something, but I have them a little closer together because I want to pack in as many veggies as I can. And some people do... I have fencing. Ours looks kind of, I want to say antique-y, with what do you call that kind of wire from the cowboy days?
Oh, the barbed wire.
Barbed wire and everything. We have tin cans out there. I mean, it's sort of fun. But mostly we have the fencing because we don't want the pug and the tabby cat going out there and making a mess of the garden. So I can grow some things on the fence, which you could put peas on there.
Oh, sweet peas, yes.
Like
or
that.
Beans.
Or beans, And my zucchini, I kind of pushed that up one time. Or cucumbers. That gives you a little more space. And then they get a lot of sun that way, too.
Okay, now that brings up raised gardens. That's a whole section unto itself. That's something we can almost do a whole...
That's easy on your back.
A whole podcast on raised gardens, how to build them.
But probably could.
But you're seeing a lot more of the raised gardens. I think almost an ornamental effect.
Yes. Yeah, it's really pretty.
It's pretty, and it's easy for those old people like we are, for our backs.
So we used to be able to work all day. Now you go out there a couple hours, gotta go rest for a while.
Okay, another thing is location. Has to be sunny.
Right.
How much sun do...
That is a challenge for people. I was talking to somebody who works here that said, I have so much shade on my little balcony. What can I put there? And there's some things that are tolerant to that. In fact, we have some tomatoes growing here by the entryway underneath some plants, and the little cherry tomatoes, they're pretty tolerant. So you can get some fruit up there. Keep my eye on those.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What about soil? What do you need? We talked about soil last week. But again, it's the same thing where you dig it up and put. Tell me how would you plant seedlings? Well, not seedlings, but plant transplants.
Yeah, the transplants. Well, I try to amend my whole area because it's easier, because you never know from year to year where which way you're going to do your little designs or how far apart you have to put your plants. Like if you're growing an artichoke, for instance, you got to have a lot of space.
Right.
Or I always wanted to grow asparagus, but I haven't quite got that.
Well, same with squash, though. The squash that I do in mounds. Squash, same with cantaloupe. Right? You do those in mounds because they go all over.
Yeah, even if you're just digging a hole, let's say you're thinking, okay, I'm just going to do this one thing. I would dig a hole and then would get a third amount of like some nice compost and mix it in with that mound of soil and put it back in the hole, and that should be about right. You don't want to have too much. People think, you know, more is better.
Mm-hmm.
If you have too much compost, it's going to stay too wet.
But you want the sandy loam, like we talked about last week.
With some with just a little amendment. That's why it's called that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's talk about pests. I'm not talking about my children. I'm talking about pests in the garden, vegetable garden.
Right.
What you got?
There's so many of them. Where do we start? Right? For me, my little ritual I have now, as I go out at night with a flashlight and I hunt for those bad brown snails, the ones that were brought here from Europe by whoever that was. I hope they're not around anymore.
Many years ago. Got it. Okay.
And I can't put any snail bait out, like that's the first thing you want to think of, but I can't do that because I have the good snails, those little decollete snails, predatory snails. They look kind of like a little ice cream cone, you know, the pointy ice cream cone.
What are they, about a quarter inch?
They're about, sometimes they can be up to an inch, but sometimes they're smaller.
But they're definitely different looking.
They're totally different looking. They're not round, although, okay, I don't want to get carried away. I did see some little round ones in a book, but most people are going to have the ice cream cone shaped ones, so it's easy to tell. And they're not going to eat your plants. They're mostly eating kind of litter, you know, the things kind of underneath. So I go out there at night, and depending on what mood I'm in, I know you say you smash them every time. Sometimes I smash them. Sometimes I fling them way out in the dry creek, which kind of a slow death is probably not nice. But they're out of there. And the reason I'm so happy about this community of decollete snails I have now, which has taken me quite a while to achieve, is that they eat the snail, baby snails of the bad kind, and they also eat their eggs.
Oh, perfect.
So it's
good. That's a great kind of a pesticide.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's pesticide.
Yeah.
So the pesticide.
There you go, right? And in fact, you can buy those online.
The little baby
predatory snails, and you could buy ladybugs online. One of the most favorite places I went to when I was at Cal Poly, we went to an insectary. I never even knew that was a business before.
Wow. Okay.
And they're growing baby ladybugs and then grown-up ladybugs in these dark rooms. They grow the baby ladybugs on sprouted potatoes.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You can go buy a bag of ladybugs?
Yeah, you can buy them. You can buy them online. You can buy the little baby snails.
Will they send them to you? They'll mail them to you.
I'm totally into the mail. Special way of, you know, they mail them to you real quickly, and then you got to make sure you open it real quickly to give you all the instructions. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, now I have a question on your decollete snails. Am I saying it right?
One of the snail bait things, what do you call them?
Snail bait.
Yeah.
If you don't use that, you can use coffee grounds. Have you ever heard that?
No, I haven't.
I've heard that you can use coffee grounds. My question was, I'll have to find that out. Would the decollets be hurt by the coffee grounds? It's something about grinding up or... I'll find out.
Okay, we're going to research that.
Yes, okay. What other pests besides...
Oh my gosh, squirrels.
And gophers. I have tons of gophers if you'd like some.
Yeah, no thanks.
Okay.
That's okay. There's all different ways to deal with all those things. I know you can bait the squirrels. Some people don't like that idea. You know?
Yeah.
Because they are cute, right?
Yeah.
You know? We trapped ours in a have-a-heart trap. I swear we did this for 3 months. We got a squirrel every day, and we put it in the back of the truck, and we drove it out to what we named Squirrel Land.
Oh, Lori. Okay.
Where there was a creek that had water, and there was food out there, and we let them go.
Wow, you are truly a human being.
Yeah, it was
okay.
Ridiculous.
I think that we've kind of covered the entire vegetable garden world in a short, I don't know, couple minutes. I think I want to close out just by a couple of things. One is why? Why do you plant a vegetable garden? And I think all you have to do is taste a homegrown tomato and taste a store-bought tomato, and that is the primary primary reason. Secondary reason is the fact that you, then you know what's going into your produce in terms of being organic.
Yep.
It's not going to be sprayed with pesticides, and apples aren't sprayed with wax and just things you don't want to eat.
Yep.
Thirdly, I think more than any, one of the great things is having your child or your grandchild work with you through this whole process of going from a seed to a soil with some water to seeing a green plant to the final product of a red tomato or a yellow corn or ear of corn or a green zucchini. I have actually heard stories where there are kids from the inner city who, when you ask them where a carrot comes from, their answer is the store.
Exactly.
I honestly, they have no concept of a garden.
Yep.
So I think just those three reasons are enough, besides the good weather and the fact that the bounty that you will get from your garden, are good reasons to plant a vegetable garden. So I want to thank Lori Finley, from Southwest Boulder, our horticulturist, our everything lady, is here every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Come by and see her. But more than anything, I hope you'll see us next week at the same time, and have a good weekend. Oh, wear sunscreen.